This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, your alternative look at the news every week here from RTI with Lee Banks, Mark Gander in Paris, and me, Eric Wiltshire, over here in Slovakia in the sun. Well, I'm glad to say, Roll Britannia. We broke a record, boys and girls. The UK has produced the fastest electric car and broken the UK land speed record. Just goes to show that electric cars can go more than the speed of a milk float.
How fast has it gone?
151.6 miles an hour, which in new money is 244 kilometres per hour.
My Bentley will do that.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, have I mentioned that I am now the proud owner
of a Chrysler?
A Bentley.
Chrysler.
It is not a Chrysler.
It's a Chrysler.
Have you really got a Bentley?
Chrysler.
I have a Bentley. Have a Bentley sitting on my drive now.
Chrysler. Really?
Is it yours? A Chrysler, Daimler, Bentley.
It's a Chrysler. Yeah.
And what have you got?
A Megane.
Yeah. A Megadeth.
What are the police going to do when they find your Bentley?
Mucky, mucky, rake of Megan.
Well, yeah, exactly. What are the police going to do when they find you driving it?
What do you mean? I just look like a rock star.
Yeah, right. Like how old is this Bentley?
3 years.
Is it?
It is 3 years old, yes.
The Bentley's 3 years old.
The Bentley.
That's what it is. A Bentley.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's a Bentley.
He calls it the Bentley. Making allusions about my sexuality. I think that is a terrible thing while he drives down.
It's very impressive. Have you bought it, have you?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'll send you a picture. I've sent everybody a picture. It's beautiful. Honestly, it does anything. You get in it, right? When you get in it, it talks to you. And it decides how you'd be most comfortable in the seat. And everything works. And you know what you can do? You can sit there and you say, right. And you look at it and you go, hello, Bentley. And it goes, hello, Lee, back. Like that. Yeah. And then you go,
boys
drive.
And girls, have you ever seen that advert on the television, if you're in the UK, for a well-known betting place with the name of a butler? It reminds me of Lee getting in his Bentley, because young rock star comes up and goes, hey, we're going to Nevada. And he goes, Nevada's a long way to go, sir. Yeah, I've been drinking loads of coffee. Out he goes, flat out on the... That's Lee in his Bentley.
No, it isn't. You sit there and you go, drive, like that.
Yeah.
And it's little sticky out thing on the bit in the middle, goes backwards, it goes into the D thing, and it sets off by itself.
That's probably safer for you then.
Yeah, and you can plug your phone in to a thing, and you say to your
phone... Have you noticed how many things it's got, Mark?
It's got loads of things, man. Honestly, it's got a 700-page instruction manual, and that's just to switch it on.
Well, that's why your other half let you buy it. Because you'll be sitting in your chair for weeks.
Because I wouldn't shut up about it.
Well, probably. Anyway, back to the
shiny black.
Back to the Nemesis, which is based on a Lotus, and it just goes to prove. No, Lotus. If my phone rings now, I'm going to be very upset.
Somebody phoning up saying, did you hear? Lee's got a Bentley.
Anyway, moving along from there, so we just hit this brilliant...
I built a Lotus once.
I'll give up.
I've eaten one.
I'm going home. I'm giving up.
I built a Lotus 7 long, long time ago.
Did
right
you
from
really?
Scratch. Yeah, absolutely. Riveted all the side panels on and everything. Used an old Anglia engine. Didn't have anything better than that. All sorts of bits from MG Midgets and what have you. It was so fast. It was uncontrollable.
So it was a proper kit car.
It was a kit car, but it was built over a period of about a year, and I used to have to go down to Caterham and buy bits for it, and this was the only time I could afford it.
That was in Night Rider, wasn't it, the kit car?
You just swear, don't
huge,
you?
Huge gold wheel.
He could talk to his kit car the same as I could talk to my Bentley.
Well, when I talk to my car, Lee, and I say, Lee, it just gets your phone number.
That's what mine does. That's what I was going to tell you. I can just say to my car, phone Eric, please. And the car goes, okay, like that. And phoned you. Mm-hmm. I phoned you from my car, and you didn't even know I was phoning you from my car.
Well, there you go, you see. What's the difference between that and a Megan?
Because yours is a big girly car.
How much is the insurance costing you?
It's not much actually. I don't know. That doesn't mean I haven't got any. I think it's about £500.
No. What,
yeah,
a
honestly,
day?
Yeah.
What, because for a year?
Yeah. No, a day.
Yeah, right. And you got and you're in policies. And you're paying the highest tax road tax bracket as well, aren't you?
No, because it's diesel.
It's diesel.
It's diesel Bentley.
You got it supplied by Mobility, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway,
that's what it is.
I'm trying to get it back on track, boys and girls. Having said that, the UK has broken a land speed record, which was previously held by Don Wales, the grandson of the great Sir Malcolm Campbell. We move
Why
on
is
to
Don Wales is the grandson of Malcolm Campbell. Sorry, straightforward black and white journalistic question.
Yeah, right. We're now going to go across to our friendly idiots in Norway.
They're not idiots, are they?
I say they're friendly idiots because it seems to me that over the past sort of 9 months or so, the most ludicrous research has come out from universities in Norway.
Oh, I've just read this.
Yeah, and it always seems to be Norway that comes up this amazing blurb that's obviously paid for by the government up there, which says electric cars might pollute much more than petrol or diesel-powered cars, according to new research from the Norwegian University of Science and Technology, who are obviously desperate for a bit of PR.
Electric cars might pollute more than petrol. Well, that's a bit of a shock.
Have they got nuclear energy up there in Norway? Or is it one of these countries that's banned it?
As I don't know, but they've got
legitimately say Norway.
I think they've got wind power and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, maybe this is partly. I mean, I'm sure it's genuine research, but also maybe there's another agenda here to encourage other profitable or maybe forms of power which are considered, generally speaking, as antisocial, like nuclear power.
Like wind.
Who knows?
You're being very journalistic tonight, Mark.
No.
Yeah, that's very good.
No.
Yeah. He's seeing inside the PR buff.
Well, we don't know.
That's a terrible thing to say to a man in gay Paris.
I like that. But anyway, the chief executive...
Having a Bentley.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I might be coming over to gay Paris in my Bentley.
You come over here with me, I'll tell you...
you can introduce me to your PR puff.
I shan't be picking up the soap. I shall be off.
Well, apparently this is all down to the fact that electric cars wouldn't be good in areas where...
Where there was no electricity.
Where they're not using sort of renewables to create electricity, saying that...
Where'd you get a 70-mile-long plug lead from?
Yeah, well, that's right. All you need is an extension lead, actually, don't you? Yeah. One of those ones that sort of coils and uncoils automatically.
That's
like you walk your dog on. You know, one of those kind of things.
Oh, that's what you want, isn't it?
You press a button and suddenly, whoop, and the dog's whipped off back into the machine.
Right. It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it? I just feel it.
One of those shows, actually.
It's already been
it. If I had a dog, I'd want one of those automatically retractable things, but with an enormously strong spring. It just sucks the dog into it, and you're going to hear this grinding.
Right. We apologise to anybody from the RSPCA listening to this as we move on.
We do not recommend you do this at home, ladies.
No.
It'll be so fast
to your own dog.
Yeah. Let's move over to France now, as we've got our regular on-the-spot person. Beekeepers in northeastern France have been alarmed on their buzzing around because the bees they're producing are now turning out honey in shades of green and blue.
Yes.
Yeah, honey, I... Yeah, right. Yeah, no, because it's because the bees keep eating M&Ms.
that's exactly what it is. Apparently it's a leftover from M&Ms. What I want to know is what happened to the yellow and the red ones?
This is true!
Yes!
Well, they mixed those together and got
green
brown
and blue.
Honey.
That's how you get the normal... I mean, what I don't understand is that these bees, apparently, are too lazy because these are French bees, believe me. They only do 35 hours a week.
Why they've got those stripy T-shirts on, isn't it?
That's right. They've got the stripy T-shirts, moustaches and berries on, and they flutter around. They really can't be bothered to do very much because they've got this general French mentality that any kind of exercise is too hard and any kind of effort is too hard.
Right.
And so, eventually, what they do is they go to the closest place for a bit of sugar, which happens to be the local waste bucket, sitting outside the Mars M&M's factory.
and they go and binge and do feeding frenzies on the sugar outside there, take it back to the hives, and they produce blue honey. What I don't understand is, what's wrong with blue honey? Why are they throwing it away?
That's why I don't have blue honey. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Like? What does it taste like? Does anybody know what it tastes like?
A mixture of honey and M&M's.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure
they'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Exactly. They could have marketed it as a super feature. You could imagine things like, you know, the fat duck restaurant, this sort of thing, having ice cream out of it, and everybody was going mad. And
duck, saying, are you talking about women from Stoke-on-Trent?
Sorry, Stoke-on-Trent. I'm apologising to everybody while they're not listening. It's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, there we are. So I don't see what's wrong with blue honey. All the starving people around the world. And they throw away all this honey. Why? I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure they've thrown it away because there were loads and loads of jars of it being shown on telly last night, which made me actually think this was another gay Parisian PR puff.
Oh, right. Okay, well, moving on.
There were loads of jars of it. And people will go out and buy it now.
Of course they would.
I would go out and buy it. It's a brilliant stunt.
Absolutely. In fact, you know what we ought to do? We ought to go and get some honey, dye it blue, and put it up on eBay. I'll bet you people will pay a total premium for it.
I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would.
In fact, let's bring this program to an end. Quick, we go.
Well, actually, that kind of would be good for me because the next story is making me cringe already because hate snakes.
I hate snakes more than you do. I hate anything without legs.
It's horrible. And there is a picture that my daughter still has when I was on a day out with the Discovery Channel, and I went, I'm not going in there, there's snakes, and they twisted my arm somewhat. They bribed me with a Discovery bag, goodie bag thing.
That's the way to do it with you, isn't it? Yeah. Offer you sort of for free. Oh, all right, I'll go in with the snakes then.
Because I got one of the special bags that journalists didn't get. It was only for the
special bag.
Yeah. Well, all us journalists got these goodie bags and other VIPs got special ones. And I thought, that's not fair. So I negotiated, and eventually I had this 10-foot python stuck round my neck. And they took pictures of it and found it amusing.
Oh, God, did it talk to you?
No, but it didn't wee on me, which is a good thing. Anyway, there are claims being made that the black mamba venom could be a better painkiller than morphine. I don't know, that morphine does help sometimes. A painkiller as powerful as morphine, but without the side effects.
Sorry, without the good parts.
Without the good bits. Been found in the deadly venom of the black mamba, says French scientists.
They're funny people are French, aren't they?
It's got to be. It's your fault again, Mark.
Yeah, I know.
It's all your fault this week. But apparently this stuff is very, very good. They've done tests on Mises and stuff like that. Yeah. And they're about to do tests on little bits of human cells to see what happens. Yeah. Hang on, we're all right. There's a bloke from Liverpool involved here, Mark. The geezer is in charge
of... Well, I'll tell you what, it's a scam then. He's better apologise to Liverpool now.
Oh, my God! Sorry, Liverpool. Apparently, the head honcho at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine said it's very...
Who nicked all the snakes?
Can you do a Liverpool accent?
Can I do a Liverpool accent?
Yeah.
No, I can't, honestly. I've forgotten
mine. It's very exciting. He'll be a posh person. It's very exciting. It's a real example of drugs from venom.
Sorry, Liverpool again.
Yep. We're talking about an entirely new class of analgesics. Yeah, they're all slithery.
Now, where'd you put them then?
Exactly. Mm. Oh, it's going to be the French way.
You can't do that with a snake.
It's going to be the French way.
That's terrible. Right. The French snake suppository.
Yes, it's going to be a snake. The French.
How long are these things? How long are they things? They're about 2 meters, aren't they?
Flip me neck.
Well, I tell you what, the French will love it.
What if it's they a suppository?
Love suppositories.
They do, don't they?
Yes.
Anyway, here we go again.
Anything that comes in or out of your bottom, they love it.
They do.
No, but what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, I broke my leg, let me suck on a snake.
Something.
Oh, I'm going to go to England quickly.
Yeah, leg it. Heartless leg it. Never mind.
When you get bitten by one and it bites you on the derriere and your mate comes and sucks it out, he feels really good after.
Yeah, right.
Well, who wants to shake with a snake?
Very good. Moving along. It's 50 years of James Bond and 007. And how are we celebrating it? with a new single from Adele.
Skyfall is forever.
Oh, please. No, is that not...
Have you listened to it?
Yes.
It's like a rip-off of The Doors and a Scott Walker torch ballad.
And it's a copy of every other...
Well, apparently it's number one in the charts already.
Yes.
Well, have you listened to the lyrics? Have you heard the lyrics?
Rubbish!
No.
Yeah, I've got. I've written down.
I'm not so shallow.
Is that the right word, Mark? Stanza.
What?
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to ten. Feel the earth and then hear my heart burst again.
What? As she takes it from a mamba. So I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, you shouldn't really, should you? but I mean, please, what is the gig with Adele everywhere? I don't get it.
I don't. She's a funny woman.
Have you ever heard any of her music, Mark?
No, never.
Have you not listened to this, even though Eric sent you the YouTube link?
I've heard a snatch. I've heard a clip from the Skyfall.
There are so many double entendres this week. It's getting out of order.
We have to say sorry to all snatches now as well.
Exactly. so there we go, boys and girls. 50 right. years of James Bond, and we get Adele.
Oh, no. Honestly. But it actually starts off like a Doors song. The first thing, this is the end. And then it goes on, hold your breath. Ten.
But it
actually,
sounds...
I'll tell you what I heard, the clip was not bad.
It sounds like every other James Bond theme.
Well, that's the package. That's the trademark. I mean, that's right,
Eric. You have to say that he is right.
I know. I'm sorry. How many James Bond theme tunes can you mention? James Bond theme tunes can you actually mention now off the top of your head?
Goldfinger, and don't move any double entendres into that.
I'm not
one.
Going to. Goldfinger's the only one I can think of.
Goldfinger.
It's only because it's Shirley.
Diamonds are forever. Diamonds are forever.
Oh, yes.
Diamonds are forever.
Yeah. From Russia with love.
From Russia with love.
Right. Do we give up now?
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, this next story is just proving my point, boys and girls, that whatever the critic says, you should ignore it. Because the critics were positively negative about the latest J.K. Rowling novel, the sort of adulty version. And apparently it sold 124,603 copies in the first 3 days, 10 times more than its closest rival. Mm. It's outselling books by Jackie Collins and stuff like that. And it's, already the 15th best-selling book of the year, and the year's not up. Mm. So how come the critics all said it was rubbish?
Well, maybe it's rubbish because it's rolling.
Well, isn't it because they're rubbish?
No, the thing, look, as a professional critic, I really am a professional critic. I've been a book critic, I've been a literary critic, been a music critic, been a holiday critic, been all sorts of critics.
Are you basically saying you're a jack of all trades, master of none?
No, I'm saying that I am a critic, but I am an all-encompassing critic. Right? And the thing is, this book, if it had been rubbish, and I genuinely don't think it is rubbish, I've actually read it. I have to say that I have actually read it. I actually stood in a bookshop and had a quick glance at it. And it is very well written. You can't say it isn't very well written. And the beauty of it is that it's not set in a world. It's actually set in a world without magic. And that is an amazing thing because she talks about rape, racism, porn, pornography, child abuse, domestic violence, suicide, self-harm, drug abuse, all sorts of class struggles. This is a thing that really has turned her career around, and it is well written. But the problem with it is, and this is why you get the naysayers about it, is that if it had been absolute tosh, it would still have outsold everything. Take 50 Shades of Grey. What a load of puerile, petty pornography that is. And look how many that sold.
Well, I don't know, because I've not had the pleasure and won't be bothering to read it.
Well, I think you do get the pleasure if you do read it. I think the real test of her book writing skills will be whether she sells the second one. In other words,
exactly.
If she writes again, okay, because people have had a taste of her. Being well written simply means that the structure of the book is right and what have you. But I mean, is it a good yarn? Exactly. The second book is the one that we need to know about.
Yeah, you can write a well-structured book on the theory of radio. Doesn't mean to say it's going to sell well, does it?
Well, yeah, you can do, but yeah, it's a good book. It just is a good book.
Oh, he's feeling so down now.
Well, it's just because it's called The Casual Vacancy. And
this is what I don't understand.
This is a woman's... I am offended for her because I think this is a woman's... She's put her heart and soul into this. She doesn't need to write. She's written a book which is well written, well constructed from what I can see. I've got to be honest, I've only read about 5 pages of it. But it seems good. And she's tackled subjects which are far beyond the subjects she was tackling before in a totally different way.
She's now able to tackle those subjects because of the other books that maybe she didn't want to write first and would have preferred this one to go out first, but because of her popularity, she can now do it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, I think you're right. And, yeah, I'm going to go sit in my Bentley now and I'm going to go out and buy one.
Right. Bonnie and Clyde's Guns of...
Oh, aye.
We can bring them to England. They've raised £300,000, or just over $500,000.
Amazing, isn't it?
Would you buy anything like that?
Well, I actually spent some time in a town or city called Asheville in the Carolinas in America, and the bar I used to go, which I can't for the life of me remember what it was called, actually had Billy the Kid's pistol. In a big case on the wall. And I must admit, I wanted to own that, but he wanted something like about 70 grand for it. So if I was really rich as Croesus, is that the right word?
Who's Croesus? Yeah,
Croesus, not those things you have in your pants.
What's a Croesus?
What is Croesus?
Yeah, what's a Croesus?
Rich as Croesus.
What's Croesus?
Oh, is it Riches?
Greek mythology.
Croesus.
It's Greek mythology.
Oh, he's all right. Mark, he's gone back to Harry Potter now.
Was one of the richest... Well, he was the richest god in the world. He owned everything in the world. And if I was as rich as he, or him, or her, he might have been ambidextrous, I would have bought it, yeah, to own... And also, now, because you can shoot criminals in Britain, yeah, I think you should own it.
But you can't own a gun. You can only own a shotgun.
Well, you can't own a pistol.
No.
I think you can get a special license for these kind of collector's items, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
but...
say, shut up, Eric.
But they have to be sort of non-firing, don't they?
Well, that's probably...
Well, just hit them over the head with it, then.
Well, that's very true. This is a really bizarre story of the Oregon farmer eaten by his pigs.
Yeah, what a horrible story. But, I mean, it's really the revenge. I mean, this man has spent 50 years breeding these animals to make every American's perfect full breakfast. They turn the tables.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a bit streaky bacon afterwards.
But I'm bemused as how they're sending the bits off to check him out to see how he died. Yeah. And basically, there's only his teeth and bits of his body.
Yeah. And his teeth were false. What are they going to test them for?
I mean, if you have a bit of bacon, you leave the rind and that little bit of bone behind, don't you? So,
well, that's probably what he was.
Well, there we are.
The pigs did the same.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I don't actually, this doesn't make sense to me because having been married to a mafia hit woman for 7 years, I understand the ways of the mafia. And the mafia used to feed the bodies of their victims to the pigs because nothing would be left behind.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. It is true. It really is true. That's my ex-wife.
I know pigs are sort of ram you as such, but I don't think they would eat you.
Yeah, most people think they're vegetarians and they only eat things like a pig.
Well, I've run away from the pigs.
Tell us about this experience, Eric.
Now, the one you want to worry with is a very eco-friendly farm about 10 kilometres from
where
I am. That's
what you'd say if you got run by a pig.
Yeah, right. And somebody said to me one day, you come with me because I'm going to feed the bull, which is the most enormous thing on the planet I've ever seen. And it walks up and it looks at you and it goes, I can kill you. And I stood there and I went, don't look at me like that. And then they were one was trying to feed it apples, of all things.
At least it's not going to eat you, is it? I mean, we don't hear anybody being eaten by a bull.
No, that's true. That's probably true. But anyway, our sympathy goes out to Terry Vance Garner, who was looking after his piggies.
And I think he's beyond sympathy.
Sympathy. Well, he might be looking down, wouldn't he? No, I think I want to do this one next because we haven't got much time left. France investigates in Marseille anti-crime squad police. Have you heard about this, Mark?
This is really interesting.
No, I haven't heard about it. And I have to say that the reporting of this kind of thing is not very well done in France. Strange, that, isn't it? But first of all, in France, one doesn't tend to find out very much what's happening in other parts of France. There's no real sort of centralised news agency in the way that we have in England. People are very much more into regional news. And also, when you tend to get scandals involving either politicians or the police and this kind of thing, then strangely enough, the word doesn't really get out, or it tends to be rather delayed. So I haven't heard about this yet.
Oh, well, anyway, the story for those that haven't heard about it then, especially everybody in France, is apparently 12 members of the police anti-crime squad in Marseille have been arrested whilst there's an inquiry going on into corruption. Apparently, they've been accused of stealing drugs, cash from dealers, taking cigarettes from illicit dealers, 500 grams of hashish, cash and jewellery were found in the ceiling of a police station, of all places. Well, I suppose it is a safe place to keep it, isn't it?
I suppose it is, really. But I suppose they just acted like any police force, really.
Well, I don't really imagine.
I've got to say sorry to the police as well now.
No, yes. But I don't really imagine that the British police operate on this kind of scale. I'm sure there is corruption, but I think to find at least 12 officers, because I understand there's more arrests to come.
Really?
More
to come.
Apparently, there's more to come, and I think that to have on this kind of scale in one police station, I think that that's probably, you know, really sort of big even for the British police. It seems to me, from what we're hearing with all the recent investigations, that the British police maybe are more interested in accepting bribes for information and this kind of stuff. But, you know, this here that we're hearing about the French police here, this is frontline crime.
Really?
And I think I'm sorry to all the other policemen what I said, but it is true that very often the drugs on the streets in England actually come from busts carried out by the police.
Really? Can you substantiate that?
Well, it's been reported. It's been reported widely, yeah.
All right, then. Well, that's what Lee says. That's what all complaints go to Lee. He's driving around in a Benz.
It was reported by the
thieves. Get me copper.
Did you get that? I got it from my local policeman.
Yeah, exactly. He's driving around in a Bentley, Mr. Policeman.
Have we looked at all the secret compartments in this Bentley, by the way?
I'll tell you what, there's so many secret compartments.
There are.
It's amazing. Do you know that there is a bit on the floor what you can lift up? And inside it, there is a little sleeping compartment.
Really?
A little.
Oh. Is that where you put the bodies?
Yeah, but who do you fit in it? Sleeping for what?
Well, if you put the seats down, you put the back seats down, and you open this compartment, and it becomes a proper sleeping compartment, like a little posh caravanette thing.
And that's for the driver?
That's when you're on a long journey.
Yeah, because you just sort of go... drive the car now, please. And it does
Just go.
It's like being Lady Penelope.
I don't...
yeah. I think that's where we'll end it, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Poprad for another week with Mark Gandery in Paris, Lee Banks in the UK, and me, Eric Wiltshire, over here in Slovakia. We'll see you on the same channel next week, same time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.